1230 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fani Willis will be back on the stand today in a hearing that could lead to her removal from former President Trump's election interference case. It focuses on her personal relationship with a special prosecutor.
You and Mr. Wade met in October 2019 at a conference?
That is correct. And I think in one of your motions, you tried to implicate I slept with him at that conference, which I find to be extremely offensive.
Mr. Trump expected to find out today how much he'll have to pay in a civil fraud case. In New York, CBS's Graham Cates on his testimony.
That day was defined by long, rambling answers to questions, often in a way that didn't directly address the questions being asked of him.
Iowa's Caitlin Clark's broken the NCAA's women's career scoring record with a signature logo three. She tells ESPN,
I'm just trying to enjoy every single second, hugging my teammates, hugging my coaches, because I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Eric Hovde plans to launch his campaign for U.S. Senate next week. That's what Hovde's campaign spokesman tells reporters. Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is running for a third term. Wisconsin is a swing state as both major parties fight for control of the Senate this year. A last-minute amendment to Governor Evers' political maps bill might complicate elections this year. The legislature passed his maps the other day, but they wouldn't take effect until the November election. Democratic State Senator Melissa Agard says that means any race before then would be held in unconstitutional districts.
Speaker Voss is in the middle of a recall, and we're not sure what maps he would run on. Additionally, in the Senate, Lena Taylor was just appointed to be a judge in Milwaukee. So we're down one member in the state Senate.
Evers has said he'd sign off on the maps as long as they weren't changed. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team travels to Iowa to take on the Hawkeyes tomorrow. The Badgers trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Head coach Greg Gard told his players.
They know I point to the scoreboard a lot and said, don't watch the scoreboard. Guys, this possession done wrong like this against a better team is going to burn you.
NBA, the Bucks lost to the banged-up Grizzlies in Memphis. The final 113-100 in favor of the Grizzlies. After the game, Doc Rivers says his team looked lost or already on the beach in Cabo San Lucas.
First play, we gamble for the 50th time in the corner. Guy drives. We have to help, leads to a three. We come back on our set. Two guys forget what we're running. Then we miss the shot, and then nobody gets back. That's how we start out the third quarter. That tells you all you need to know about where our heads were. We had some guys here, and we had some guys in Cabo.
That's Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
You're not dumb. And Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dumb? This is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Yeah. Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and a bit cooler today. We'll get to 31 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to 14 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, high of 30. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high back up to near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
You're not dumb. And Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dumb? This is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Mike Clemens and Terry Barr. Join us in our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
1870 AM The Zone.
Just moo it. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome to a Friday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to come on in. We have got a jam-packed hour of food and fiber news for you, connecting you with our Wisconsin farmers all the way back to your plate. We are going to talk a little bit about this mild weather. Maybe it's time to start seeding. Now, I know what you're thinking. No, we're not talking about corn or soybeans or anything like that. But frost seeding is something that really might work out to your advantage this year. We've got Stephanie Hoff on the way with details there. Animals that are outside on pasture year-round at this time of the year, you really need to pay attention to their body score. How healthy are they? Charity Seebecker visited with one of our veterinarians that's really focused in on those animals that are out grazing and what they may need a little extra of during the winter months. And me, I'm following up on details that are unfolding this morning just outside of Eau Claire. Tony Mellenton is a Wisconsin soybean grower. He also happens to be on the board for the United Soybean Board. Now listen, if you have ever gone through a remodeling project in your home, you know it's kind of stressful. The least thing you're probably thinking about is using it as an educational experience. But I'll tell you what, Tony and his family are doing just that. Details on the way. Weather-wise, right now we've got some snow on the ground, but by the time we talk next week, it could be gone. Today, more clouds than sun. Going to stay chilly. Daytime high today, right around 29. Tomorrow, sunshine and 32. Sunday, sunshine and 41. Monday, partly sunny, 45. By the middle of next week, we're going to be back in the low 50s. That's again why we're talking about the possibility of frost seeding on a Friday. Stick around.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Leadership Institute is a year-long premier crash course in personal development, agricultural advocacy, and Wisconsin Farm Bureau that builds up strong Farm Bureau members. I'm proud to be a Wisconsin Farm Bureau member because they invested time and resources in me and my development, and I cannot wait to give a return on that investment.
WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
You know, sometimes in production agriculture, we're so good at what we do, it can actually be almost put us at a disadvantage. Of course, our yields go up. We're using fewer acres to grow what we do. Our cows produce more. You know, in some areas, though, that's a wonderful thing. What am I talking about? Well, in Southeast Wisconsin, the Hunger Task Force is a unique food pantry. It actually has an operating farm connected directly with that food pantry. And joining us today to give you a little perspective on what a small piece of ground can do for a community is their farm manager, that's Sarah Bressler. You know, like I mentioned at the outset, Sarah, this is a unique situation to have a food pantry that's so vital, not for just Southeast Wisconsin, but statewide, have an actual operating farm connected to it. Tell me about this arrangement. Tell me about the farm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you said, Hunger Task Force is unique in the food bank world because we, you know, one, we value high quality, healthy produce, but we purposefully grow that for people in need. And we dignify people by providing them with the absolute best food we possibly can. So the farm is how we do that. You know, the farm is really a strategic response to an issue that communities all over the nation face, which is that access of healthy fruits and vegetables for the community in need. So we are fortunate to be able to utilize this land. We have a 30-year lease that we signed with Milwaukee County Parks in 2012, to utilize the 208 acres that we have here in Franklin to be able to supply over 500,000 pounds of over 26 different fruits and vegetables to the community in need.
Now, 208 acres at first blush may not sound like a lot, but boy, I'll tell you, if you're working it, it's a lot. That is a lot of ground to manage, especially when you're producing high-value crops like vegetables and things like that. Give me your strategic plan, Sarah, on how you manage all that.
Absolutely. So of that 208 acres, we do have 100 of those acres are natural areas, right? So those natural areas, you know, we really want to be good stewards of the land. So Hunger Task Force leads conservation efforts to restore our natural areas and preserve, you know, our rich environment. And we, you know, some of those benefits of restoration of that land is, you know, increased biodiversity of wildlife habitats, new native perennial vegetation, decreased soil erosion, thriving old growth trees in the oak savanna area. Increased water quality of the river watershed, which is just on the east part of our natural areas. And then we have our 100 acres beyond that, that is the tillable land that we're growing that 500,000 pounds of fruits and vegetables for people in need. And the way that we really get all of this work done is we have 7 full-time farmers. We hire 3 to 4 farmhands during the peak season. And we use about 4,000 to 5,000 volunteers, community volunteers that are really our core and base to being able to do all of what we do and to be able to supply healthy food for people in need.
Sarah Bresser is along with us. She's the farm manager for the farm that is connected directly with the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee County. Their 208-acre farm, as she said, with that includes some of the natural terrain that they're managing is in Franklin. Now, just because you've got a farm, Sarah, does not necessarily mean that soil is ideal for growing high-value products like the vegetables. Tell me a little bit about the soil. What have you had to do to get the productivity out of this farm?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the soil being so very important to, you know, the fertility and just the production that we're doing altogether, we utilize sustainable agricultural practices. There's 3 core ones that we really, really go to, and we have about 8 that we utilize throughout the year. But cover cropping is one of the ways that we, you know, we're planting crops, specifically rye and peas and oats, for, you know, the purpose of improving that health and that fertility of the soil. That's reducing the soil erosion, it's suppressing weeds, and it's improving that, like I said, that structure that's really needed. We also do a 4-year crop rotation. The crop rotation, you know, is that practice that involves growing different types of crops in the same area in sequential seasons or years. So that's really helping us with pest and disease management, weed control, and nutrient management. And then we also do conservation tillage, right? So we're just, you know, doing tillage of an 8-inch furrow specifically for the crop. And that's helping us reduce soil, you know, disturbance by minimizing that plowing. And it also allows, retains moisture in the soil, prevents erosion, it controls those weeds, and then really preserves that structure as well.
Well, let's get to the numbers, Sarah, because they are more than impressive. Again, we're talking about high-value products, vegetables that are going into the Hunger Task Force stream of service. And 2023, despite the drought-related conditions, you guys still did exceptionally well.
We did. We were able to grow over 400,000 pounds with, like you said, those drought conditions. We had some record-breaking yields, specifically green beans grew over 23,000 pounds. Some of our other top-yielding crops that, you know, produced more than we actually projected were tomatoes. We grew over 15,000 pounds. Collard greens, which is the number one requested item in our food network sites, we grew over 20,000 pounds of those. Lettuce, over 15,000 pounds. And over 85,000 pounds of cabbage in 2023.
Now, I'm sure you're already looking ahead to the growing season of 2024, Sarah. How do you strategize what you plant, when you plant it, and give us a little sense of how the farm evolves through the growing season?
That's a great question. So at the end of every season, We put out a produce survey to all of our network sites, which are made up of those food pantries, soup kitchens, homeless shelters, low-income senior sites, and we have over 200 in our network. So really wanting to get their feedback, because we really value their feedback about the quality, the quantity, the desired produce, what culturally appropriate items can we add to our list. So what do they want to see? So that's really part of what informs, our farm plan for the following season. We really take that input and apply it.
Do you have more than one crop that you're able to pull in a season on a piece of ground? Or if it's going to be tomatoes, is it only tomatoes? If it's going to be green beans, peas, it is only going to be that? Or do you have to kind of keep switching it up?
Yeah, absolutely. So that four-year rotation is really important, to really minimize that pest and disease issues that could occur, and then the weed control, the nutrient management. So we do that rotation of each particular field, having 24 different fields, so that they're prime and they're full of nutrients and ready to go to be able to supply that nutrients to the, the actual fruit.
Sarah Bressler is along with us. She's a farm manager for the Hunger Task Force and their 208-acre farm location in Franklin. Let's talk a little bit more about community interaction on this fantastic, productive ground that you're working there, Sarah. You can't just snap your fingers and harvest 100 acres of fresh produce, because it seems like it all gets ready at once. Tell me a little bit about the harvest season around the farm and how you try to incorporate education along with that hands-on experience.
Absolutely. So we employ what is called succession planting, which means that we have five different successions of corn, for example, but then we stagger when we're planting that corn so that we have a constant flow of corn throughout the season, so that we can supply that to our different food program sites. And the way that we're able to do all of this is through the help of the community volunteers that are so very vital to the program here and being able to do what we do.
Well, job well done in 2023, and we surely hope that 2024 is going to be equally productive for the Hunger Task Force Farm in Franklin. What can people do to follow the story, Sarah, or become one of your valued volunteers?
Absolutely. So ways to help and support the farm and Hunger Task Force is come make an impact by, helping the community through volunteering. So you can go to sign up by going to hungertaskforce.org and clicking on the volunteer tab. Also, the farm relies on the generosity of the community to continue providing healthy, fresh produce to the hungry in Milwaukee. So an opportunity to take your support of the Hunger Task Force to the next level would be to be a part of our Adopt a Crop program. You could supply, $25 to provide 45 pounds of sweet corn to a local pantry, or $50 to grow 100 heads of lettuce for families in need, or $100 to provide 50 pounds of green beans to local seniors, or $250 to sponsor an acre of peppers of seed for the growing season. So many ways to get involved.
Excellent. Sarah Bressler along with us. She is the farm manager for the Hunger Task Force location in Franklin. 208 acres of productivity. And they could use your help, as she noted as well, be it financial or be it physical. HungerTaskForce.org. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Lovell, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Nearly be this size if I didn't get paid in food more often than currency. So, but we're grateful. It'll be good, I'm sure. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I'm talking later this morning, Friday, Lent, fish fry, etc. We're talking about fish supplies out there. This weather has suddenly created a little slick of ice out there, not enough for fishing, but it's enough to put you down on the ground if you're not careful.
Well, yeah, walk carefully. There are spots that have gotten a lot more slippery. That snow from yesterday, too, when you packed it down a little bit trying to get it off the yard, it's a little slippery. That's how we work out on this Friday, but really a pretty fair day. Temperatures a lot closer to normal as we head through today, and maybe a little cooler then, even as we get the weekend underway. Tonight, probably the coldest night we've seen in a while. There's a little snow down in Iowa and into northern Illinois. Far southern Wisconsin may have a flurry yet this morning, a little activity, as a weak cool front's dropping south, way down into the southern part of the state now. Otherwise, I really anticipate a day that's going to be a little cooler. Some sunshine will break out in a few more places, a little brighter, but cooler and windy. Wind gusts up toward 25 and 30 miles per hour Saturday, staying a little gusty into Sunday. So even though the thermometer may begin to rise, it's going to feel kind of chilly and like February through the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Picture this, you in a company vehicle traveling across the picturesque landscapes of southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois. Your mission? To provide top-notch service and installations of milking equipment. Tri-County Dairy Supply is on the lookout for dynamic service technicians to join their teams in Janesville and Watertown. If you've got experience in farming, electrical work, plumbing, welding, refrigeration, or maintenance, send your resumes to tricountydairy@tds.net or apply in person in Janesville. Must have a valid driver's license. Don't miss this opportunity.
All righty, Stu, give me that forecast.
All right. Well, our Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast does include some clouds to start, a little more so in southern Wisconsin, becoming sunny as we make our way through the day, especially further north. Temps in the upper 20s, maybe a 30 here or there. And the northwest winds 5 to 15, a bit breezy. Overnight, partly cloudy and cooler. Double digits above zero. That's about all we hope for, 10 to 12 or so. And northwest winds, 5 to 15. Mostly sunny on Saturday, back around 30 with the west winds 10 to 15 or 20, gusting near 30, keeping that wind chill down there closer to zero. Sunday, sunny skies, mid and upper 30s, west winds 5 to 15. And by Monday, Pam, we could be finding our way back up to 40 or better, but maybe just a little rain or snow toward later part of the midweek.
But by the time we get there, the snow we've got will be gone, so we'll be looking for more moisture.
Yeah, little new addition possible.
All right, buddy. Well, enjoy that feast on your friends with the Livestock Committee.
Absolutely. We'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, joining us this morning with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com to find out resources and an office near you. Like I said, it is Lent. That means a lot of folks turning their attention to fish instead of other things. And Friday night fish fry is staple. But do we have enough fish? We'll talk about it.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Lovell, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fani Willis will be back on the stand today in a hearing that could lead to her removal from former President Trump's election interference case. It focuses on her personal relationship with a special prosecutor.
You and Mr. Wade met in October 2019 at a conference?
That is correct. And I think in one of your motions you tried to implicate I slept with him at that conference, which I find to be extremely offensive.
Mr. Trump expected to find out today how much he'll have to pay in a civil fraud case in New York. CBS's Graham Cates on his testimony.
That day was defined by long, rambling answers to questions, often in a way that didn't directly address the questions being asked of him.
Iowa's Caitlin Clark's broken the NCAA's women's career scoring record with a signature logo three. She tells ESPN,
I'm just trying to enjoy every single second, hugging my teammates, hugging my coaches, because I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Eric Hovde plans to launch his campaign for U.S. Senate next week. That's what Hovde's campaign spokesman tells reporters. Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is running for a third term. Wisconsin is a swing state as both major parties fight for control of the Senate this year. A last-minute amendment to Governor Evers' political maps bill might complicate elections this year. The legislature passed his maps the other day, but they wouldn't take effect until the November election. Democratic State Senator Melissa Agard says that means any race before then would be held in unconstitutional districts.
Speaker Voss is in the middle of a recall, and we're not sure what maps he would run on. Additionally, in the Senate, Lena Taylor was just appointed to be a judge in Milwaukee. So we're down one member in the state Senate.
Evers has said he'd sign off on the maps as long as they weren't changed. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team travels to Iowa to take on the Hawkeyes tomorrow. The Badgers trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Head coach Greg Gard told his players.
They know I point to the scoreboard a lot and said, don't watch the scoreboard. Guys, this possession done wrong like this against a better team is going to burn you.
NBA, the Bucks lost to the banged-up Grizzlies in Memphis. The final 113-100 in favor of the Grizzlies. After the game, Doc Rivers says his team looked lost or already on the beach in Cabo San Lucas.
First play, we gamble for the 50th time in the corner. Guy drives. We have to help, leads to a three. We come back on our set. Two guys forget what we're running. Then we miss the shot, and then nobody gets back. That's how we start out the third quarter. That tells you all you need to know about where our heads were. We had some guys here, and we had some guys in Cabo.
That's Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and a bit cooler today. We'll get to 31 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at around 5 to 10. Tonight, clear. We'll drop to 14 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine, high of 30. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high back up to near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Allball, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now,
Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Pearl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. We'll be right back. Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You know, that they've got all these stars, Evo, and they're not going to have to really part ways with the overwhelming majority of them.
She's like your older sister, but louder. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Little on the chilly side today under cloudy skies, probably not much warmer than 29 degrees, but things start turning the corner tomorrow. Partly sunny and 32 on Saturday, sunshine on Sunday, 41 degrees. Monday, partly sunny, 45 degrees. I'm Pam Yonke. Tickled to have you along with us on a finally Friday morning. So it is the 16th day of February. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1923, the burial chamber of Pharaoh Tutankhamun was opened. Howard Carter discovered this archaeological find. It was due to a myth of the curse of Tutankhamun. That actually was sparked by the death of Lord Carnarvon, who was the one that first entered the chamber. But again, Howard Carter discovered Tutankhamun's burial chamber on this day back in 1923. I always think Indiana Jones whenever I hear that story. On this day back in 2005, the Kyoto Protocol went into effect. That's basically addressing climate change. It was a global warming pact that was ratified by 101 countries to date. That does not include the United States, not in on the Kyoto Protocol. And let's see, happy anniversary. How about this? To actor Nicolas Cage. Now, he married his fifth wife, Rika Shibata, at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas on this day back in 2021. I couldn't help myself. You think the fifth time is the charm for Nicolas Cage? He's been married five times, including this one. They got married in Las Vegas. He actually proposed to her over Facebook. He bought her a black diamond engagement ring, black gold, black diamond, and he FedExed it to her in Japan. Interesting courtship, to say the least. But happy anniversary to Nicolas Cage and his wife, Rika Shibata. Now you know. Well, like I said, this weather, although cold today, is going to be improving again next week. We talked about how maple syrup producers have been struggling to figure out what to do next. Maybe this is the year when you give frost seeding a chance. Stephanie Hoff investigates.
And even though it's felt like an early spring, specialists are asking you not to jump the gun on frost seeding. Kevin Shelley joins us. He's a cover crop specialist with the Division of Extension, and he goes over the ins and outs of the method.
Well, frost seeding generally refers to broadcast seeding on the surface during a period of time where we have a lot of freezing and thawing. So at night, we dip down below the freezing point, and then during the day, we get back up above freezing. And so there's kind of some shrinking and swelling of the soil at the surface, and this tends to cause cracking. And so we can apply that seed to the surface of the soil, usually with some sort of a spinner spreader. It's been done to some extent while applying fertilizer, but more often something mounted on a three-point of a tractor or on an ATV or UTV, and it just broadcasts, spins it out in a broadcast fashion to the surface of the soil. And then the seed kind of falls down into those cracks and crevices, and that freezing and thawing action helps to achieve the seed-to-soil contact that we need for germination and establishment.
Is that a common practice in Wisconsin?
It's more common maybe in with pasture management, something, a perennial pasture where we don't tend to have tillage, and we want to improve the complement of the species in the pasture, maybe get some legumes into that grass like red clover or white clovers or alfalfa, although trials have suggested that alfalfa doesn't work quite as well. We really need a species that is a little more rapid to establish and a little bit hardy from the get-go. So medium red clover tends to work well in that situation. Another area where I've done some work is in winter wheat. So we plant the winter wheat in the fall, and that's going to go dormant over winter. And in the spring, just about the time it's coming out of dormancy, we might be getting a lot of those freeze-thaw conditions, and we can broadcast seed medium red clover. This has been the species that has been the most useful, with the intent of having a cover crop established after the wheat is harvested in July.
What time of year does it typically happen, this freeze-thaw? Sounds almost like it aligns with the maple syrup season.
Yeah, and, you know, maple syrup is actually pretty early this year. It's gotten started already here in February, and I'm just a little apprehensive that I think it's a little bit too early. If we're talking about clover, that will germinate at a temperature of 34 to 38. And so we could get that going. And then there's the risk of having another hard freeze or maybe some snow and ice. Those would be things that would be a little hard on that establishing clover cover crop. So I'd rather see a farmer wait getting into March, pretty much any time into March. Sometimes if we still have snow through March, we can get it done in early April. Good conditions become a little less likely, but we've done a fair amount of frost seeding in very early April.
Are you concerned at all about the unseasonably warm weather and what this might mean for growers in the spring?
It's reminding me a little bit too much of 2012, where we had a very warm March, early spring. I know of a couple of cases where first crop hay was harvested before the corn planting even started. So, and we ended up with drought conditions in 2012. But following up with the drought that we had in much of Wisconsin in 2023 and still going into 2024 with some dry conditions, that does cause me to worry a little bit, but anything can happen, really.
Kevin Shelley along with us with the ins and outs of planting a cover crop in the early spring. As we heard, there are a few different ways that you can utilize frost seeding on your farm in the next month or so. Kevin specializes in cover crops with the Division of Extension. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Yeah, and definitely something to think about, especially if you know that you're going to be short on forages come spring of this year. Thanks, Stephanie. All right, markets and overnight electronic trade this morning are finally turning the corner and gaining a little ground. Don't forget, Monday is President's Day, so the markets are going to be idle. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2 cents to 155.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 2.25 at 149.25. Double A butter, that gained a penny, 272.75 per pound. Now, this morning in Chicago, the March Class 3 milk is up a nickel, $16.85. The April milk is up $4, $17.17 a hundredweight. December new crop corn is currently unchanged at $4.57. November new crop beans are up $4, currently at $11.45. July wheat still bleeding red ink, that's down 5.5, right now at $5.64 a bushel. And just a quick update, because we're now into Lent, and for many of us, Lent or not, Friday night means a fish fry. But how healthy are our Wisconsin fish populations, like our walleye, our yellow perch? I talked about it yesterday with DNR fish biologist Angelo Cazzolo. He's in the Lake Winnebago area, and he said, the good news is walleye, yellow perch, not looking bad this year.
Yeah, so on the Winnebago system, we are a Midwest-renowned walleye and yellow perch fishery for sure. We have a excellent 100% naturally sustained walleye population. There's no stocking activity that goes on with the walleye, perch, or any species of that matter. There is some supplemental sturgeon stocking that occurs. But yeah, it's all naturally sustained here on the Winnebago system. And again, we look at those year class strengths, and dating back to 1986, we can kind of track when these year classes are coming in. We then go and survey the adult population and do age composition analysis to then show those year classes represented in the mature adult stock that are actively spawning. But yeah, for Winnebago system, it's a perch and walleye fishery for sure. We also have a really good white bass run in different areas of the system in the spring. People get them on the ice as well. Bluegill and crappie are popular on the system. But yeah, the most two popular targeted fish are definitely walleye and perch here.
Nice conversation with Angelo Cazzolo. He is a DNR fisheries biologist working the Lake Winnebago area as far as monitoring those walleye and yellow perch. I said to him, okay, so what does that mean as far as supplies for Friday night fish or all of our Lenten meals? That he could not answer because the fish that he's monitoring are not being fished commercially for restaurants. But I will have that answer for you by the time that we chat next week. Coming up, as far as chatting is concerned, you know, we've got a lot of livestock that spend the winters in Wisconsin outdoors. We take care of them, give them shelter, and always make sure that they're taken care of with feed and water. But what do they need a little extra of in the winter months to make sure they're keeping their body condition scores like you like them? Well, Charity Seebecker is going to join us with details on what to monitor and what to measure out when it comes to nutrition on those grazing animals. And don't forget, next week, National FFA Week, and of course, Wisconsin will be celebrating in a big way. Monday, we've got more than 200 Wisconsin FFA members, as well as their chapter advisors that are going to be in Madison celebrating FFA Day on the Capitol, and we'll be there.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Tom Alba, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now,
Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people are going to say, oh, man, she's a Republican. She's a Democrat. She's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Management and forage species decisions are equal.
It's important to know what works best for your operation and not compare yours to your neighbor's.
You need to match the requirements of the animals you're trying to feed then. So dairy lactating dairy cows have much different requirements than beef cows or dry dairy cows then. So understanding what you need for forage quality to begin with then, and then growing what you need to produce what you're doing then too. And there's some subtle distinctions that get lost. All pasture is not the same. What people refer to as regenerative pasture really will tend to be lower quality because we're growing with longer rest periods. We're growing species of plants that are locally adapted. They're not the the improved high forage quality ones. And so we have to accept if that's your goal, if that's the animals you're feeding, it may work fine to use those pasture species. But if we need higher quality forage, we're going to have to manage and plant different species that require fertility input. So recognizing that allows us to provide the inputs we need to grow the kind of forage if we need high quality forage.
Are there specific nutrients that are maybe commonly deficient when it comes to pasture forages?
The primary one is going to be energy then. So most of our pasture forages have sufficient protein, and sometimes we worry about there being excess protein then, but energy is really the place where it's short.
Are there different seasonal variations when it comes to that forage quality that farmers should be aware of?
That's the other difficult thing, is if forage quality differs throughout the year then, and being able to adjust a ration with tweaking supplements, supplementary forages to match that is pretty important, and it requires a pretty sophisticated outlook on it then.
What vaccinations are essential when it comes to different types of livestock on pasture? Does that change?
It does change with, again, the kind of animals you're producing then. On pasture, we like to have some form of clostridial protection. Whether we use a 7-way, 8-way, 9-way, kind of depends on local strains, and your local veterinarian would know better which to choose then.
What type of supplements are commonly used for animals on pasture?
This is actually pretty localized depending on soil types, but it would be good to do forage tests and mineral analysis on the pastures or the hay that you're producing on your farm, and also include your water supply as well then, because that can influence what we need. Even if you don't use a nutritionist all the time, setting up an initial mineral mix for specific to your farm and your animals would be worth paying somebody for. It may be that, you know, the requirements can be met with something off the shelf, or sometimes you need to have something customized, and it's worth the effort then. You don't need to keep redoing that mineral mix either then.
If we hit another drought, what happens? Is there certain things we should be worried about when it comes to our animal nutrition while they're on the pasture?
And the primary concern if we do run into bad weather again is simply forage supply then. That's going to be the primary concern. If we do have another drought and your strategy is to purchase feed, then you know, some of the mineral considerations you had with homegrown feeds may be different if you're bringing feed from especially a distance then. So it would be worth looking at.
Are there any specific challenges or opportunities for beef and dairy cattle in pasture-based systems?
Yeah, lots. We can use the conventional confinement. People have ration development, ration formulation down pretty well, and we can use those same concepts, you know, forage testing, supplementation, and not being locked in necessarily to a pasture system being locked into 100% pasture all year long, using supplementation and using it wisely.
Are there specific forages that are maybe more beneficial for small ruminants versus large?
They will be about the same then. Probably the more important thing is whether those small ruminants are lactating, whether they're dairy producing animals then, or whether they're dry, just like we would think about with cattle then. What's their energy demands or protein demands as well then too, rather than being different between different species within the species, their energy demands.
Are there specific strategies or suggestions you have for farmers to really optimize the rotational grazing, but also making sure they're improving that animal nutrition?
I think that the kind of forage you want to grow is not going to be the same, like I had said earlier. The fertility resources you have on your farm, if you purchase feed, that is a fertility input. If you buy fertilizer, that's also a fertility input. It needs to match the kind of species you're growing. It may be that, you know, when people are talking about regenerative ag, they can build up and maintain enough organic matter to supply the nutrient needs. But if we try to do much more than that, we need to bring in feed from outside. And as an example, I work a lot with dairy farmers, and the sale of milk off of the farm represents a huge export of nutrients, and we need to compensate for that somehow, and usually it's in the form of purchase feed or fertility then. So I think matching soil fertility and farm resources to the kind of forage you're going to grow is going to be key.
That was Dr. Greg Brickner, veterinarian for Organic Valley. He added that it's important to include 5 pounds of good quality dry hay in the ration throughout the grazing season to ensure that you have constant rumen health. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Does the Farm Bill provide disproportionately more help to big farms? Find out today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Is the Farm Bill a handout to big farms? Texas A&M ag economist Joe Outlaw was asked that in a recent episode of the Groundwork podcast from Farm Policy Facts.
In this country, we have only about 2 or 3% of all the farms are corporate owned. What you have is a lot of family farms that have chosen to get bigger, and maybe they've incorporated as a tax management scheme, but not as a matter of practice of how their farm is run. It is a family operation. Most people in this country that actually are involved in agriculture understand that 100%. It's the outside people who hear corporate agriculture.
The way Outlaw sees it, if farms are getting bigger, it's reflective of marketplace competition.
If you want to have a productive agriculture, you're going to have to allow farms to get bigger and take advantage of cost economies. And I know that means that maybe the neighbor gets squeezed out. But you know what? When they get squeezed out, they're getting more for their land than they probably ever dreamed they were going to get for that land. And they're not getting squeezed out. They're just basically not finding that they're as competitive anymore because they chose not to get bigger.
There's a link to that Groundwork podcast on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Albo from noon till 3 on Friday. Join us for a week in review and a look ahead to sports this weekend on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Hi, my name is Maggie Dawn. You may have already heard that my 6 p.m. show is moving to 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Todd Albaugh, still taking care of middays from noon till 2.
Todd, what are you doing?
And I'm Dom, and Crudy and I are still kicking it from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Dom, this is supposed to be about my show. I don't see why any of you guys...
We just want to be sure folks know precisely where to find you.
Right before the greatest radio show ever.
Until now, Crute.
Maggie Dawn, coming to your local station on the Civic Media Network.
2 to 4 p.m.
Right after me.
Oh, for crying out.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.